that mean? Know what you've been putting up with without growing tired. Oh, I just busted a big button in. Pow! You're still on fire. Nevertheless, I have a complaint to make. Oh, geez, here we go. I thought I had just walked into the glory gates. But all of a sudden, I got to read what the complaint is, and I got to see if it'll fit me. And he says, I have a complaint to make. You, Charlie Osborne, have less love now than when you first started. Now, folks, let me ask you this. Most people here will say that it's the love for God. I say it's the love for people. If I can't love you that I see, how can I love God whom I've never seen? And this is a big proof of that. That's right. I have less love. I would have been 1,000% more sensitive to my little sister's needs 5 years ago than I was yesterday or Monday. I'd have been a lot more sensitive. And what God is showing me here said, Charlie, I got a complaint to make. You're doing a great work. You're patient. You're kind. You're just enduring. I mean, you're putting up with it, buddy. I mean, you've exposed the imposters, but you're not loving like you used to. You know he's right. You're not loving like you used to. Used to, you just... I mean, Charlie, you was really something when you first got started. And then God tells me, he said, Charlie, you repent. Repent. No, he says, think of where you were before you fell. You know, I can go back and think of... I used to put up with the... I put up with... I mean, I was just the most patient person. All of a sudden, I got really not too much patience at all. I just, well, a big shot evangelist. Put up with a lot. I don't want to put up with as much as I used to. Now, I want y'all to listen to what God tells me. I want to see if y'all fit in this anywhere now. Because this was written to me, and it was also written to whom? All right, so then you got to read this for yourself. I'm looking at it through my eyes for me, all right? And it says, think of where before you fell, repent, and do as you used to at first, or else, if you do not repent, I shall come to you and take the lampstand from his place. What is the lampstand? What is the church? It's the Holy Spirit of God. If I refuse to repent, God comes and removes my lampstand. Well, now listen to this. If I was, say that my lampstand was removed, what then do I have to do? Then I've got to go on my own resources. First thing you know, I don't want to put up with you people that don't have any money no more to come to this school. I only want people that's got money because it costs money. So if you come to this school, it's going to cost you $500 to get in the door, and then we're going to hit you every day with a collection. Because I got to have something to operate on. I'm no longer operating on faith and love, the faith that manifests. I'm operating a business. I'm right back in business because my lampstand has been taken away. I can no longer operate under the Holy Spirit of God. Then I have to divert to my own ability, and that becomes an abomination of desolation. I lose my love for you and begin to see what can I get out of you. Y'all understand that?
Yeah.
That was the problem with this church. And folks, you can read these other churches and see which if these other churches fit with you too. One of the other big churches that I run into was the church at Balaam, the church at Thyatira, was it Thyatira? Let me see. Pergamon, the church at Pergamon. Let me just give you a little bit about Balaam. Balaam, his biggest problem was that he was a great prayer. He prayed to God. And he was confronted one day with a bunch of people that wanted him to come and prophesy against Israel. They were called Moabites. They came from an ancestral relationship from Lot's family. Lot had had an intercourse with his two daughters, and out of these two daughters came a nation called the Moabites and the Hittites. And these Moabites and Hittites See, that was a nature of sin that lived in the world, and it's the same nature of sin that lives in the world today. We've got Moabites and Hittites, people that come from incestual relationships. So these people came, and they were trying to get Balaam to go and prophesy against Israel. They were trying to get Balaam to go and say what a miserable church Israel was. What a miserable church the Catholic Church is. Would you come to my church and prophesy against your church? Do we have that going on today? Well, this is Balaam's problem. Balaam said, well, let me pray before I go. And he went in and prayed. And what did God say? Don't go. And Balaam went back out and told the Moabites. He said, I'm sorry, I can't come. And so they went off and they sent a bigger contingent. They said, look, we want to make you an assistant pastor, man. We're going to pay you a big wage. All you got to do is come over and tell our people what a sorry church the Catholic Church is. We'll even put you on TV. I mean, you know, what do you want? We know that you're strong. You're a prophet for God. You're an evangelist. Would you come over here and help us? Because Israel is the pit. The Roman Catholic Church is a dog. Y'all ever had people ask you to do that? So Balaam went back in and he said, I'm going to pray again. Because I'd really like to go. This stinking church, I can't never get nothing done. I got to wait around. They're always treating me bad, kicking me in the shins. And he goes back in and falls on his face. He said, God, you know, I'd really like to go. God said, well, go ahead. So God changed his mind. God didn't change his mind. Folks, you can pray and get whatever you want if you pray long enough. Had a lady come up to me one time. She says, God told me to leave my husband. I said, how long did you pray? She said, 6 months. I said, oh, it took you 6 months to get an answer. God told you to leave. That's the problem that Balaam had. You pray long enough, you'll get the right answer. People that tell me they're going to pray about something, I walk away, man. I don't want to be around when it happens. Jesus is a decision. You can pray up anything you want. To follow Jesus is a decision. Jesus told us how to pray that His will be done here. Amen. That His will be done here as it is in heaven. We don't have to pray about that. What we need to do is to do it. The prayer's been prayed. And we need to forgive one another. Has that prayer been prayed? We haven't done that yet, have we? We're working on it. So we see that Balaam had a real big problem. Now, the amazing thing, when Balaam took off with these people, his donkey had more sense than Balaam. I mean, his donkey was trying to stop him, run into a hedge and run into the fence, and old Balaam took out his club and just beat the hell out of him. Pow! You ever beat your donkey to do something? Tell him! And the donkey turned and said, Balaam! Have I ever treated you like this before? Balaam said, no, why are you doing it now? And all of a sudden, Balaam's eyes were opened, and he saw before him a big angel standing with a sword. And that angel said, if that donkey would have took one more step, I'd have cut your head off. You think that would have turned Balaam around and he went home and repented. But you know it didn't. He kept right on going. Right on through the angel. And what that symbolized, that he was dead. The minute he made that decision, he was dead. And the Moabites killed him. His sin killed him. Folks, we don't want to get caught in that. Read these churches and see where we're operating in. And the biggest church we're going to find ourselves is in the church of Book of Revelations, where we're the rich. Oh, how rich we are. We got everything set up. We got Social Security. We got this. We got properties. We got houses. We got this and we got that. And oh, boy. And it said, oh, how miserably poor you really are. And if you're lukewarm, he said, I'm going to puke you what? Well, folks, I've discovered, and this is really true, that the puking comes for the lukewarm, those that haven't quite made a decision to get hot. When you really preach the truth about Jesus, it just drives you out. And that's something that's not going to happen when we die and go to heaven. It's something that happens today. Now, I want to go over to the sixth chapter of the book of Revelations and again say to this, I'm just going to touch on this because I want y'all to begin to read this book with some excitement. This is an exciting book. Anything that is not of seven, which is seven is what? Anything that's not a seven and isn't what?
Incomplete.
So when you see a number 666, what does that mean? So it says that that number is the number of mankind. Mankind is not complete in God is a 666. Folks, those 666 is already here. It's not something that's going to happen. Man without God is an abomination of desolation. His forehead, his mind is marked with the beast. He does the things of a beast. And he allows these hands to be governed by the mind. It's not something that's printed. It's something that's written in your mind. Have the mind of Christ. Amen. Be marked with the mark of God. People said he's going to come up with a laser beam and right up here. Six. Six. Boy, how stupid. I mean, that is so dumb. I mean, my 10-year-old can preach it better than that. You know, the spirit of Antichrist. Folks, it's been around since Adam and Eve. Now, listen to this. I'm going to start at the fifth chapter. Then I saw in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne there was a scroll that had writing on the front and the back, and it was sealed with seven seals. Let's identify that right quick. Seven means what? So ever what's in this scroll is complete. Now it says it was written on the front and back. What else do we know about the scroll? You can't put any more on it. And what that symbolizes is time that you and I are caught in. I am in that scroll, and I have a beginning and an end in that scroll. Jesus had a beginning and an end in the scroll. But it says, our faith says, that there was no beginning to him or no end, that he's been forever. But he allowed himself to be caught into time to demonstrate to us God. Y'all understand that? You know when Jesus said he is the Alpha, the Omega? Well, he's saying I'm the beginning, the end. He's the beginning and end of who?
Me.
I'm the Alpha, the Omega of God. There's a beginning and an end to me. There's no beginning and end to God. He's forever. Always has been, always will be. But God has allowed me the privilege to be in the beginning and the end. I have a beginning and I have an end. All right? So we know that this seal, the seven seals, it means it is complete and it's written on both sides. And there's seven horns. What is seven horns? All power. All power. He has all power. What's the eyes? All wisdom. The seven spirits of God, the Holy Spirit, complete Spirit of God, sent out all over the world. The Lamb came forward to take the scroll from the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Then he took it. The four animals prostrated themselves before him and was sent with them the 24 elders. Each one of them was holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense made of prayers of the saints. And they sang a new hymn. You are worthy to take the scroll, to break the seals on it, because you were sacrificed with your blood. You bought men for God of every race, language, people, and nation, made them a line of kings, priests, to serve God and to rule the world. Now I'm going to go down to the sixth chapter, and I'm going to read this to you. It says, and I saw the Lamb break one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four animals came forth in a voice like thunder, come immediately. A white horse appeared, and its rider was holding a bow. What does a bow symbolize? It's a weapon. What does people do with weapons? They go from victory to victory, from the victor's crown and away to go from victory to victory. That's the condition of the flesh. We're constantly conquering one another. A victor's crown, if you look up the victor's crown In the Greek, this particular situation here, it is a temporary crown. It is not God's crown. Most people say that that's God riding that horse, and it's not. It's a guy on a horse with a bow or a spirit that went out to conquer the earth. All right? Now, let's read the second horse. And came immediately a black horse appeared, and his rider was holding... No, I'm sorry. The second horse came, and out came a horse bright red, and his rider was given the duty to take away the peace of the earth and set people killing each other. Folks, I'm going to ask y'all, is that horse ridden? Are we killing one another? You know, I've never heard a preacher on national television preach that those horses have ridden. They'll tell you that they've not ridden yet. Well, if they've not ridden, then we've got peace on this earth and nobody's killing one another. Because the only way anybody could kill one another and have peace stolen is if this horse is ridden. Who opened it up? Jesus opened it up. Tell me why he opened it. He was the one worthy, and who demanded that it be opened? God didn't want to open it. In fact, they were having trouble finding somebody to open it until they found the sacrifice. Why was it wanting to be opened? Who wanted it opened? Adam and Eve, they wanted to know the difference between good and evil. In the book of Genesis, the third chapter, they desired to be as gods, and God will give you whatever you want. And is that heavy groceries? So this scroll was opened, and right away, the next horse that rode out, this horse that rode out to kill people, Cain would have never been able to kill Abel if this horse hadn't ridden. We wouldn't be dying if this horse hadn't ridden. Now listen to the third horse. It said it's a scales. Rode out with the scales, a barley of wheat for barley... A ration of barley for a day's wage, but do not tamper with the oil and the wine. Do you folks know what a scales is? Do we use scales? Don't we use report cards for kids? Is that called a scale? A measure. If they make A's, it's what? It's good. If they make F's, it's what? It's bad. We have the ability to scale a child and condemn him, good or bad, over his ability to learn. We go into a supermarket. Everything is numbered so that you can give the exact number in coins to the cashier so that you can equalize and cancel the debt. We scale out things to one another. If you're good, I'll let you use the car Saturday. If you take out the garbage, you don't take out the garbage, no car. Is that a scale? Yeah. And we wonder why we're all so blistered, confused, and full of anxiety and fear and hate for one another. Because we use scales on everybody. We have the ability to know the difference between good and evil. We would have never had it if man hadn't wanted it. And folks, I'm going to tell all of you something today. That spirit is still around. We can still have that spirit today if we want it. But another spirit has come into the world that's allowed us not to have that spirit anymore. And I'm going to get to it in a minute. Listen to this. Then the fourth horse rode, and it was bright. It was deadly pale, and its rider was called Plague. Do we have any plagues in the world? Yeah. Well, my Lord, this horse must have ridden. Or we wouldn't have plagues. And it says, and Hades rode in his heels. Do we know a place called hell? I wonder how we got to know about that. Now I want y'all to listen to what God did. In the fullness of time, the Word... See, all this is going to tie together in the love message, folks. And it's going to show you the reason that we are, so many of us are deceived and don't have understanding. And Jesus said, my people perish from a lack of knowledge. You've got to be equipped in this world today to stand firm in love. You've got to be equipped in it, or you'll fall. Something will come along and deceive you. When Jesus came on the scene in the fullness of time, The Word, God became flesh. He promised in Adam and Eve that through a woman man fell, and through a woman man would be restored, would be redeemed. And here comes God down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit, and He took our sins, our iniquities, our diseases, all of these things that these horses had put on us, our hatreds, and He done what? He took it to the cross and was killed, and where did He go? He went into hell and took the keys of death away from Satan. Didn't He? So now let's go back and look at these horses. If I have been born of the Spirit of God, what happened to the horse that rode out with the bow to go from victory to victory? What happened to that horse? He's been conquered. In whom? In me. Jesus killed Him and allowed me, through Him, to get rid of that horse in me. You see, that horse rode in me for years. I didn't know how to get rid of him. Here comes another horse that's riding in me. The horse that goes out to kill with the big sword. You know that horse rode in me for years? But when I discovered Jesus, Jesus told me I could get rid of that horse. I didn't have to let Him ride me no more. That I could have a peace, that I could be restored to the peace that Adam was before he fell, that I could walk back into the glory of Almighty God. Jesus put that horse to death for me as I accepted Him. Now, how about the scales? The Sermon on the Mount, if any man ask, give. What happens to the scales? If a man should rob your property, what? Don't ask for it back. What happens to the scales? God balanced the scales so I don't have to scale anything out to anybody. I can be very generous with everything because God balanced it. He killed the scales. I no longer condemn my kids from A's to F's. If they make F's, they're just as wonderful to me as if they made A's. Y'all following this picture? Jesus came and rendered every one of these horses death. He went to the cross and He destroyed the conquering horse. He destroyed the horse that went out to kill, to set people killing one another and steal peace from the earth. He killed that horse. He went out and He killed the scales. He said, freely you have received, freely give. You have heard how it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say this to you, offer the wicked man no resistance. Don't put out a scale on him. If you have anything in a man, ask, you give. They rob your property, don't ask for it back. Bless those that curse you. Turn the other cheek. Don't slap back. Don't use that for a scale anymore. So y'all see how we got to start treating one another? And folks, I'm going to tell you, the world is totally against this. The psychologists are against it. And when you begin to operate in it, you'll have a family. Folks, I got a little listen, 3-year-old granddaughter this morning. You know what she said to me? I mean, she's laying in her bed with her mama, and I always take her to the nursery or to the family that keeps her while my daughter works. And she said, Peepaw, you don't... Now, this is a 3-year-old. You don't have to worry about me today. My meemaw's going to take me. My mommy's going to take me to Kathy's. I don't have to worry about it because she knows that I take her. And she just rolled over and said that. The little girl is thinking. She's able to express herself. She's not afraid... Because we've never taught her fear, and in our communications, we communicate to her in a way that we're not oppressed her. We let her express herself.
That's wonderful.
And her little mind is sharper than a tack.
Because she's not afraid.
She's not afraid. We never invoke fear into the child. Watch out now. Y'all be afraid now. You know what? Some people are going to get you. That's a boogeyman that's been killed by Jesus. We don't have to worry about that boogeyman no more because we've been delivered from that sucker.
Thank God for that.
Jesus went into hell. What did He do to that horse? Did He kill that horse of death and stole the keys from him and came out of there with the keys? And he gave them to us. He said, I give you the keys to life and death. And that power lies in your mouth. From your mouth you will speak life or death. We've got two trees, two roads to walk from, two trees to eat from. We can eat from the tree of knowledge, knowing the difference between good and evil, that allows those horses to run in your life. Or you can move over and eat from a tree of paradise, a tree of love and compassion. And Jesus said, the man that holds on to this love till the end will be saved. My battle is over. I don't have a battle anymore. Boy, we just finished up right on time, didn't we? The victory belongs to me, folks. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got nothing against nobody. But I have to guard that daily because I'm caught. Those horses that were rendered helpless on the cross are spiritual beings, and they will come in if I will let them. But I have the power to keep them out. How do I keep them out? By humbling myself. Amen. Isn't this, aren't you glad we got this Christ in? I mean, listen, y'all read that book of Revelations. Read it like God was dealing with you today. And that these things, they've been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a preacher the other day preach the book of Revelation. I'll tell you who it was, Billy Graham. And he was preaching the book of Revelation. He said, you know, you'd almost think that these horses have already ridden. I said, how in the world could we be dying if they weren't ridden? They're still preaching that these the great tribulation. See, that's deception, folks. If they can, if the world can get you to think that there's something going to happen down the road, we don't have to do it today. We can put it off. To hell with them. Let them suffer for a while. We'll talk, you know. We got to take care of this thing today. Don't turn around and look for your coat. Be alert, diligently looking every minute. It's exciting, isn't it? Folks, we got the highest kind of victory. That book of Revelation, you know what 666 is? It's incomplete man. 777, that's complete man. If you're in God, 666 has been destroyed. 666 has been around since Adam and Eve. An antichrist spirit has been here since Adam and Eve, and it's still here. Especially people that call themselves Christians that will go out and kill you. They are not Christians. They are not from God. They are a spirit that is deceived by the horses that's been killed, but they refuse to put them to death in their life. And they're an abomination of desolation.